Blog Talk Radio.
We are victors.
Thank you.
Who you are, that we may know who we are, and that we would stand flat-footed the defense. And so I pray you will have your way in our lives, Lord. We pray that your kingdom come and that your will be done. Let your kingdom advance and be established through preaching, teaching, and healing. Have your mighty way, Lord. I pray that God's anointing destroy every yoke in our life, and that our soul, spirit, and body now function in order according to the divine system of protocol. I decree and declare that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. I pull down strongholds and cast down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and that our thoughts are now subject to the lordship of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare that we are healed and spirit-filled. Sickness and diseases are far from us. I establish divine parameters, boundaries, and borders, and legislate and establish the law of the kingdom of heaven to govern all activities within us. So I overcome, disallow, veto every diabolical sanction, subverting activity, injunction, directive, mandate, or order that opposes the will of the Lord concerning our lives, ministries, and our families. I nullify diabolical decisions and rulings concerning our ministry, our life, and the lives of family members, friends, and associates. In the name of Jesus. Father, enlighten the eyes of our understanding that as we go over these few things that you've given us tonight, that we will truly understand it, and that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and the knowledge of yourself, that we would learn who we are as your offspring. Have your mighty way tonight. We'll have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So what I'm going to share with you is I did put some stuff on Facebook. I put some, I'm not going to be able to go over all that, but some prayer principles on my page. And one of the things I did say I was going to share this week was the purpose of corporate prayer. So when we come on this broadcast, this is we need to know what is the purpose of corporate prayer. And it conditions us to be subject, submissive to the will of God, individually and collectively, on your personal time. It empowers us through the Holy Spirit to obey the word of God, to do the work of the ministry, and to boldly witness and proclaim the word of God, and keep alert and watchful, encourage and strengthen each other, and handling opposition as one united in purpose. So, you know, some of us we're gonna come, and you know, you never know when you'll be going through an opposition. And this is where you would bring the opposition so that we can all come together and pray. You notice as one will send 1,000 to flight. Just imagine two. Two is 10,000. Imagine it's more than two of us. How many of you would be able to send to flight? Amen? We got to realize these things. Prayer is the vehicle by which you are meant to commune with the invisible God. It is the medium through which your spirit is intended to affect and be affected by the will and purpose of the divine creator, that the purpose of prayer, however on which basis do you have a right to pray. And you'll see that in some of the prayer principles that I put up on my Facebook. God originally gave us this right by virtue of our relationship with him and our purpose of exercising dominion over the earth, yet our relationship with our Creator was broken, and our dominion authority was forfeited by our first ancestors. And we know that was Adam, right? Satan, rather than man, became the God of this world. Where did this lead people in relation to communing with God and his purpose? They became estranged from him and his plan for them, so that they felt isolated from God, were unassured of where they stood with God, didn't know what God wanted to do for and through them, and lost their sense of purpose. That's what happened at the fall. So do these results sound a lot like our prayer life? Yes. you know, before I started learning the kingdom, they have to sound a lot like that. So if so, you must realize that your concept of prayer has been influenced by the effect of the fall. However, God wants to give you a new outlook on prayer, one that reflects his purpose for redemption as well as creation. My, my, my. Yes, Lord. So many of us, we may not think of prayer as being an area in which we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, many of us. And you know that's what Romans 12:2 tells us, to not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and perfect will of God, right? So Christ restored our rights to dominion and prayer. And Genesis, let's turn there, Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse 26. So when I put up my event, I put up there, you know, come and exercise your dominion. And that dominion is when we come to pray, when we come to commune with the Father. Genesis 1, 26. Some of us already know what that says. And then, and God said, let us make man in our image, rather after our, let me put my glasses on. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God has put mankind in charge over the earth. And when Adam fell, we lost all that. And that's what I was reading the notes on how some of us might feel if we've been taught from the religious system, you know, we lost some things. Now, Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6 tells you how you got back your dominion after it was lost with Adam. So, Revelation 1, turn there. Some of you might know this too, if you've been learning in the kingdom. But I got to still show others who may not know, and it's a good refresher. You know, they said repetition is the mother of teaching. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6, and it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved washed us from our sin in his own blood. And has, what verse 6 say? And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever. Amen. And so what was lost in the beginning, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, restored it back to mankind. So now you see that we have a responsibility, and that is that we would exercise our dominion through prayer. And as John Wesley, his quote is that God will not without man, and man cannot without God. It's a cooperation between heaven and earth, and God wants to rule the earth through man. God wants to rule earth through us. And so we got to get in our rightful position. So prayer, so as you can see, Christ restored our right to dominion and prayer in Genesis 1:26 and Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. Prayer is the expression of man's relationship with God and participation in his purpose. The nature of prayer can be under context of God's purpose for humanity. Now, if you are without the knowledge of the kingdom, what I shared last week, you cannot pray according to God's will. You only can pray what you've been taught from the religious system, but it will not be exactly according to God's will, because the kingdom starts from the beginning, in Genesis. And you can't pray according to his will if you have no knowledge of the kingdom. And so without the knowledge of the kingdom, we're not praying according to his will. And so That's why it's important when the Spirit dropped that in my spirit last week when we were talking about the title was part two of Satan's modus operandi, that we understand that. Well, you can't understand any. I mean, the Spirit had put in my spirit that without the knowledge of the kingdom, you can understand all of Satan's mode of operation all you want, but it will not mean anything because you don't have the knowledge of the kingdom. And the enemy knows that. And I gave out Matthew 13:19 when it talked about when anyone hears this message of the kingdom and do not understand it, guess who coming to snatch it? Satan himself. He didn't even send his posse to do that. So, you know, you write the scriptures down if you weren't here or if you don't know that Matthew 13:19. Anyone who hears the message of the kingdom, okay, I'm saying, I'm here, go here to that scripture, Matthew 13:19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then comes the wicked one. The wicked one is Satan, when you look that up. Satan himself, not his posse, and catches away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So when you learn in the kingdom, you first time here in the kingdom, you got to keep seeking. You got to get hunger and thirst after righteousness, that God will fill you with the revelation and the knowledge of this kingdom. Okay? And that's a promise from the scriptures. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, he says, they're the ones he's going to fill. Amen. Amen. So, so without the nature of prayer can be understood only in the context of God's purpose for humanity. And the only way you can know that is from the beginning. But God began, what started in the beginning before Adam and Eve, before they disobeyed God. All right, so prayer should be purpose-driven, motivated by the knowledge of God's will. Now, one of the, you can put this down tonight, one of Satan's ploys is Satan wants to limit your prayers. You know how the prayer room is always the smallest group to come together out of everything else that goes on. We want to be entertained. We want to be... We want to see all the eye candy and the air candies and all that stuff. But when it comes down to prayer, that's always the smallest room. So Satan wants to limit your prayer. Why? Because your prayers limit him. Especially when you understand the knowledge, you have the knowledge of the kingdom, and you understand the kingdom message. The reason why he come to snatch it is because when you don't understand it, he comes to snatch it before you understand, because you have no, he will have no more play in your life. Because now you're going to learn, as you seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, you're going to learn, you're going to rediscover your purpose, your divine purpose, your true identity, who you are, and what you got, and how to use it, which will get you to divine destiny, okay? So he's trying to cut you off before you even get started. So if you know who you are, then you realize that you have authority over Satan. He don't have no rule over you unless you give it to him. My. And so that was one of the main things, because in the religious system, it seemed like everybody was scared of talk about that. My. But prayer is man exercising his legal authority. See, prayer is not a religious activity. It's not a, see, that's another thing, you got to change. We need to repent, change our thinking on what prayer is. It's not a religious activity. So scratch that. It's not a religious activity, because prayer is man exercising his legal authority on earth to invite heaven's influence on the planet. My. So prayer is the engine that advances the kingdom of God. And we already read Genesis 1:26 when he told them to let them have dominion. Do you know what dominion is? You need to look that word up, dominion, and look it up in Greek and Hebrew. It's kingdom. He's given us a kingdom on earth to rule. Let them have rule over the birds of the air and everything that creeps upon the earth and the whole earth. We are responsible for what's going on here. But we are not in our rightful place. That's why the whole earth and everything is groaning and waiting for the sons of God to get in their rightful place. So this is why when we stop praying, we allow God's purpose for the world to be hindered. So he requires, because of, if you read the prayer principles that I put on, you'll see that he requires the permission or authorization of mankind in order to act on the earth. That's why I think John Wesley knew something about this. He says, God will not without man, because he will be violating his own law. When he said, let them have dominion, that became a law. And it became not only a law to a man, but also a law to God himself. And because of his integrity, he will not violate his own law. And so he requires, because he have given humanity authority over the earth, he requires the permission or authorization of mankind in order to act on earth. That is why when we stop praying, we allow God's purpose for the world to be hindered. That is why Luke 18:1, let's turn in and see what that says. Now that when I started on the kingdom and I read that scripture, I said, oh, that's ought to make some more sense. That makes better sense to me. Okay. Luke 18:1, let's turn in. 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men are always to pray and not to faint. Why was he saying that? What I just told, what the note says. This is why when we stop praying, we allow God's purpose for the world to be hindered. You can be praying while you're walking down the street, while you're doing the dishes. You can be praying, somebody come to your mind, just start praying. In the middle of the night, God wake you up. You can start praying. So that's why it says men are always to pray in Luke 18:1, because you give God access into the earth. You're saying your kingdom come, your will be done. In Matthew 16:19, it gives the key. It's about us binding and loosing. Whatever you bind up on earth will be bound up in heaven. So you got to make sure it's bound in heaven before you're trying to bind it up on earth. And whatever you loose on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. Well, whatever you're supposed to be loosed in heaven, you better make sure it's loosed in heaven before you try to loose it on earth. You understand? So that means we got to study the kingdom. Study the word of God. And so what we allow and disallow, that's what Matthew 16:19 says. The truths are crucial for effective prayer. Yes, Lord. One of the things I've learned last night as I was listening to Dr. Dana about his will be done. I just share a little bit because I'm still chewing on that myself. But it made it was good stuff. And it talks about God's will and let me see if I got the right thing. God's will. Well, God's will is his word. All right. Now I gotta hear it though. Well, God's will, his word. So you know the scripture that says, ask and you shall receive, not seek and all those things in Matthew? Ask. The word ask is the, when you look it up, it's petition. You're petitioning. The word will is really a legal document. When we say we're praying according to God's will, it's a legal document. What is God's will? His word. It's a legal document. It's written. And here, that in John, what's that, 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, that means that he will hear us because we pray according to his will. hearing, that he understands us, because we're praying his word right back to him. The legal document. My, my, my. So, that's some good stuff right there. My, my, my. I'm still chewing on that too. Okay. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. So, let's move on here. So it's important that we learn these things and know them and understand them. Amen? Amen. So when you come here, not only are we coming here to learn some things, we also come here to intercede for others, because there's the royal priesthood. That word just messed me up when I, 2 Peter, just turn here. 2 Peter 2. I mean, is it 2 Peter? 1 Peter 2, I think. I think it's 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. We're going to get to the lesson in a minute, y'all. I got to make sure people understand that we all be on the same page. We can't be praying one thing and somebody think about their cake in the oven. Okay? That's just an example of being divided in our thinking. But we got to be focused and pray according to his will. 1 Peter 2:9, I believe it is. 1 Peter 2:9. And it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. My, my, my. Now, that priesthood messed me up, because, you know, I was doing word study. And so I said, let me look up what that is, because it keeps sticking out. And I looked it up, and in verse 5, in 1 Peter 2:5, it says, ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices and acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, we're supposed to offer up spiritual sacrifice as a royal priesthood. That's one of your true identities. And not only are you kings and priests, but you're a royal priesthood, which means you're a kingly priest, right? So kingly intercession you should be having holy sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And that just reminds me of Romans 12, verse 1, when it says that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service, right? So as priests, we ought to be, our life need to be right. And you see what happened to the priests back in the day, and if they wasn't right, that's why they had the bell on his ankle and the rope around his leg, just in case they went in there and they wasn't right, and they didn't hear no more bells moving around, they would pull them out because he's dead. Well, we ought to give God a living, a holy sacrifice, that our lives, we present our bodies to him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. I mean, when you come before God, you make sure you shouldn't have no sin, okay? Because your prayer is not going to be answered until you clear that up. Amen? So as that royal priesthood, we ought to be bringing intercessory prayer to the broadcast, praying for one another. Tonight I have some prayer requests to pray for the men. Pray for our children. They're going back to school. And in the school system, they got all these things, these doctrines that they want to put in our children's minds. That's why it's important that we doctrinate them at home, okay, with the kingdom message, so that they will have a choice and be able to stand in the midst of this kind of stuff. So, they got Satan doctrines that they're trying to place in schools that parents cannot opt out. And what was the other one? And they got some other thing. Oh, they got a curriculum called gender identity. That is a curriculum for them to pass. So this is in the elementary school. This is before they even get to, you know, right? They're trying to plant the seed in them. That's why we got to plant the seed God told us to plant in them, so they be able to stand. Amen. All right, so I got some prayer requests here, and I'll share them at the end. Let me get to what I was going to share tonight. One of the Satan's other ploys is not only that he wants to limit our prayers, because, you know, we got all kinds of stuff to entertain us. We don't want to take the time out. We don't want to give that sacrifice present our bodies to him as sacrifice. You know, some of us, you know, we pray, you know, in our private time. And we have, you should, that private time, that's the one you should desire the most. And when we come together in corporate prayer, we're praying about communities, nations, you know, things that's going on globally. Praying for souls, that people will understand the kingdom message quickly. God will give them quick understanding so that they will not, the enemy will not snatch that. We're praying for to the Lord of the harvest, that he will send out the laborers. That's why we got to teach people the kingdom, so that when they go out to reach other souls, they will have the right message that God wants the people to have. So that we, when we do Matthew 24:14, that we, this gospel of the kingdom of God, that will be preached to the world as a witness to every nation. This is why we got to teach it. We got to unlearn it and teach it to others. Amen. Amen. So here's something from my brother Glenn Blakeney. He talks about the breakthrough, the devil's roadblocks, because he got some roadblocks. Have you ever attempted to do something that you believe was the will of the Lord, yet you were met with one roadblock after another? I am not referring to something you were tentative about, but an initiative you were strongly convinced was the leading of the Holy Spirit. Any child of God that desires to be used by the Lord will invariably experience an occasion when the door that they are tempted to move through will not open. In such times, it is critical to discern what is going on behind scenes. That means we have to have the spirit of discernment in the spirit realm. My. So when Satan hinders your way, this is Paul spoke of Satan's schemes and how he attempted to block believers from making progress in doing the will of the Lord. So not just blocking believers from doing any old thing, but doing the will of the Lord. For we want to come to you, certainly, I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way. This is in 1 Thessalonians 2:18 in the New International Version. The Greek word Paul used for block is E-G-K-O-P-T-O, ekopto, something like that. It was an ancient term formerly used to describe a road so broken up that no one could travel on it. My. So the same Greek word was also employed to depict a runner cut off and an elbow out of the way, a competitor in race. So the primary idea of the word is that the obstruction created by enemy that is so severe that it not only deters but completely blocks and shut down any further movement forward. So Paul uses this metaphor when referring to Christians and Galatians being enticed from faith in Christ's righteousness alone. You were running a good race, talking about in Galatians 5:7. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? And I think in another version it says, who have bewitched you? He says, make no mistake about it. The devil is intent on thwarting your progress. Now, everything is not the devil, okay? Everything is not the devil. Just get that straight, because everything is not the devil. Some things is just, it just happens, okay? Some things is ourselves, things that we do. But we're talking about the devil right now. Is intent on thwarting your progress. Okay, just know that. He set out to do that. Blocking your blessings and delaying your destiny. In Daniel chapter 10, I talked about this last week. We see clearly, for example, how prayers can be blocked by demonic spirits. In Daniel, Daniel had been praying for 21 days when he received an angelic visitation. The angel told him that his prayers had been heard from the outset, but the spiritual principalities that control Persia was preventing the angel from coming to answer Daniel. During this time, Michael, the guardian angel of Israel, and a heavenly battle ensued to clear the blockage and bring the revelation from God. My. So That's one of the ways, the ploy of the enemy. He try to block your prayers. He's going to try to block your blessings. You got to be in the spirit realm to discern what is going on around you. Remember, I said we're in two worlds, a physical and a spiritual. The spiritual is invisible. So you got to be in tune to the spiritual to even recognize it. So if you're not born again, you will not recognize it, okay? Born again, the natural man cannot discern the things of God. Amen? All right. So as Christians, we have good news. The authority we possess in the name of Jesus is greater than the power of Satan. We need to know that. In Luke 10:19, he tells us, behold, I give you the authority. Turn to that. Luke 10:19. You need to know this. This is a part of your weaponry of knowing what you have, knowing what you, understanding what you have, and how to use it. Behold, I give you the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is Jesus speaking now. The power of darkness that works so forcefully to hinder our furtherance in the will of God must be confronted and engaged in battle with spiritual weapons. You can't use your fist or knife or gun. Spiritual, you can't see, it's invisible. Spiritual weapons. We must clear the blockage through spiritual warfare, which may include fasting, heightened intercession, and taking authority over Satan in the name of Jesus. So many of God's people have adopted a spiritually passive posture, permitting Satan to wreak havoc in their lives and that of their families. No more. No more. So when you start learning this, it's no more. When you recognize the enemy in the atmosphere, you call him out. Your attitude and action should be what Nehemiah advised. And I looked and I rose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your husbands, your houses. That's Nehemiah 4:14. And we, you know, the way we learn about prayer and all that stuff is we're passive. The enemy says we can have it all around us. He's laughing, especially if you don't know who you are. So it's time to rise up and fight for the furthering of the will of God on earth. Because now that we know that we have authority over the enemy, not him, he is here illegally. You have the legal authority on earth. It's written. Let them have dominion. Stand your ground, and in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, press on to complete victory, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. God ain't going to come and do it. He's going to crush Satan under your feet shortly. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And that's from my brother Glenn Blayton. And I said, oh, man, that is so much like what I had been studying about the serpent. I mean, about what God has given us, power. And he said, you shall tread upon serpents and scorpions. I've been teaching the children in our Sunday school what they have. You know, God's given them power. He tells them, you shall tread upon serpents and scorpions. Okay? And doing the word search on scorpion and serpent and snake. Scorpion will injure to do wrong, act wickedly, meaning imposition of time or order, etc. Then he said, you shall tread upon them. Tread what? Tread means to trample and crush with your feet. However, that lets us realize that to trample or crush anything with our feet, it is necessary to get close. And actually make contact with it. So you can't be scared. He said, I haven't given you the spirit of fear. 1 Timothy 1:7. 1 Timothy 1:7. But I've given you power. I've given you love and a sound mind. Do we believe that? Or are we just, you know, passively letting that devil wreak havoc in our life and our family? Are you going to stand up when your daughter, your brother, or your son, or somebody acting possessive? Are you going to stand there, or you going to be passively let him wreak havoc in that person's life instead of stand up and rebuke that devil? Come out. Return back to where you came from in the name of Jesus. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's what's called treading on serpents and scorpions. Yes, bad stuff happens to good people, but it don't mean we have to be afraid in those moments. We have a choice to walk through our valley without fear and with a song of worship in our hearts and a word of praise on our lips. And James 4:7 tells us that it reminds us in fear and terror. It is our right. It is our privilege to our choice. Let's lift up a shout of victory. Submit yourself to the Lord, to God, and resist the devil. Resist him. My. Yes, Lord. So those are the kind of things we got to plant in our children so they know who they are, so the devil can't take advantage of them. Come on now. My. So, Lord, I know there's too much stuff here, but I'm saying, I'm sharing. As you give it to me, that's how I'm sharing. Amen. Hallelujah. So, some of the other ploys that Satan has, not only do you try to block our prayers, he try to block our blessings, he try to come and snatch. If you don't understand the kingdom, it comes to snatch, and he try to keep us from praying, because prayer is what gives God access into the earth. Lord knows we need God's help. Yes, Lord, because it's a mess here. So we got to learn to understand his modus operandi. We have powerful, Satan is a powerful, cunning, and implacable enemy that are large in number. They are invisible. They are supernatural. They are occupy seats of authority over this earth to which they are restrained. Our spiritual struggle is largely with them, and it is our responsibility to overcome them, even as Jesus overcame Satan. So I already gave you scriptures about we ain't supposed to be afraid of them. You're supposed to tread upon them. You're supposed to crush them under our foot. And greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And Satan is, in the scriptures, it says somewhere that he's the god of this world. That means this world system. After Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, disobeyed God in disobedience, gave him that place. And so when Jesus, the second Adam, came, he restored our kingship back to him. So he has no more authority over that. He's here illegally now. We have the legal authority. You don't get nothing else tonight. We got the legal authority to rebuke and cast them out. Our responsibility to overcome them, not God. Everybody waiting on God to do something. God said, I'm waiting on y'all. I give you everything you need for life and godliness. Now use what your daddy gave you. So, and that's what we got to do. We can't be sitting around passive and afraid. He already told you. By no means shall any harm come unto you. And he's not giving you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Oh, man. Amen, Lord. So demons greatly fear God. They tremble before him. They are a house divided. They cannot get their act together. This is certainly a reflection in society. When we understand the governments of man are very largely influenced by these unseen spiritual powers that are actually ruling over the nations. The nations are at one another's throats, and they cannot get along with each other, and they are simply reflecting the driving spirit behind them. My. So most importantly of all is that God has set limits as to what they can do. And as you saw that, you can see that in the book of Job clearly, when Satan complained that God had set a hedge about Job, and therefore Job was protected, God has done pretty much the same thing for you and me. My. So today, we are going to begin to look at how the ploy Satan uses in warfare. And I already named a few of them. So warfare is a term because it was to emphasize that we, whether we realize it or not, have been thrust into a desperate struggle brought on by our calling from God. Satan hates us anyway because we're made in God's image, okay? And not only are we made in God's image, we are made out of the same material that God is made of. God is spirit, and we are his offspring. That means you are spirit too, and in dirt too. Amen? So think about this. We are heirs of salvation, and our inheritance is the earth. But this earth just so happened to be the first estate of the original inhabitants. Angels who have become demons, they look upon us as invaders, and they are going to defend it, even though God has already judged them as disqualified because of their behavior. So we are intruders into their space now. It's not really their space. It's ours. But they are acting like it's still theirs, okay? So we can't be sitting right like, you got to know who you are, what you got. And when you declaring something, that means you know what you got. And you letting the enemy know what I got. I'm going to use it, and I know how to use it. Amen? So God hasn't seen fit to get them out. He hasn't seen fit to get them out yet, okay? We know from prophecy that it's going to occur, but they are still here, and we are also here. And there is only so much territory to go around. Think about that. They don't want us here, but we want to be here. Obviously, this is going to lead to a clash, my. And that's that warfare, my. So in 1 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, it says, you can turn to that. I think that might be the last one. I don't have time to, enough time to, yeah, that might be the last one. 1 Corinthians, let's say 10. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 10. No, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. But though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So that's one of the ploys that he uses, is against our mind, your imagination, the things we think, okay? And that's what he's really working at. That's why the Bible tells us to be not conformed to the world, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we're not carrying on a worldly war, but the battle for us is no less real. Come on. We have got to understand that we are not fighting for material success. You got to understand that. We're not fighting for earthly power or prestige. We're not even trying to make our enemies look bad. The real issue for our life is the victory or defeat of God's purpose for us. My. So we have to understand that we have a merciless, impeccable spiritual enemy, so that such things as human cleverness, ingenuity, organizing ability, eloquent argument, reliance of charm, or forcefulness of personality are simply not the answer. Those things may impress men, but believe me, demons are not impressed at all. Those things are the weapons of carnality. We're talking about spiritual warfare, not a war. So the good news is that the captain of our salvation has already defeated their Goliath. Their leader is defeated. He's beaten. And the captain of our salvation, lives in us. Come on. He lives in us. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We find from these verses that the enemy invades our mind, our imagination, and he does this with opinions and convictions and feelings that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Did y'all get that? It's the mind. The words that are used in verse 5 in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 and the New King James are casting down argument. Some Bible says reasoning. Others says conviction or opinion. We could even inject here feelings. So whatever the application is, they exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Especially if you don't have no knowledge of God. If you don't study God's word, you don't have no knowledge, then they have free range. Can't cast nothing down if you don't have nothing to cast it down with. So these things that invade our mind with are designed to affect or alter our behavior. That's what Satan did in the Garden of Eden. The reasonings are the key to understanding. God created you and me with the ability to reason. But what line of reason do we follow? The key to following the right line of reason is this phrase, against the knowledge of God. That's the key. Because the thoughts that invade our mind come from this evil, wicked, subtle, deceitful, spiritual leader are going to lead us to exalt our reasoning against the knowledge of God. That means you're going to put your reason, feelings, and opinions and all that stuff above what God said. So this knowledge is not primarily about God, but rather the knowledge of the person of God. So the knowledge about God is certainly included, okay? But when he wanted to exalt our thoughts about is the knowledge of the person of God. Why? Why would he want to do that? Because we have a relationship with a person. He is a being with personality, character, and a wonderful, wholesome way of life that produces every good thing. Satan, he tried to destroy that relationship by getting us to doubt either the person and his goodness or the rightness and goodness of his promises and the way of life. He tried to get us to doubt. So 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And so I am going to stop right there. And then I'll finish next week. Amen. So we've learned a few things tonight about the ploy he uses. He tried to stop our blessings. He tried to stop us from praying. He tried to stop prayers from being answered. Even all the stuff that's going on in the spirit realm. Wow. Whew. So I hope you were taking notes and got any feedback, comments, questions, anything we need to intercede for in the session of prayer. Lines are all open. If you're on other devices, call in 760-283-0834. Amen. Glory to God. Eyes open.
Amen.
I can hear you. Come on. Amen. Eyes are open. All right. While we still thinking, I hope you got somebody that in the seed for. This is the time. We're going to pray for the leaders. I have a prayer request from Myron Mason. And he says to pray for the men. Anytime you can just jump in, okay? Satan is after the male seed. He knows if he can get the male, he can destroy the family. If he can destroy the family, he can sabotage your community. If he can sabotage your community, he can ravage your city. If he can ravage your city, he can ruin your state. And if he can ruin your state, he can wipe out your country. Now, if he can wipe out your country, he wants to destroy the world. So Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to start with the male seed. Look around you today at those in pivotal positions, the male seed. Who was Satan after in the Garden of Eden? Who Eve, the male seed. That's who he is after today. Pray for the males so that they can come, so that they become the men God called them to be in Jesus' name. Our godly women who are saved and filled with the Spirit should know this more than anyone. Many of them are stunted because of the male in their lives not being in a proper place. Start praying, ladies. The church is filled with women. They should know something is out of order. When the men are absent or not more spiritual than them, that the conscience of men and women must be awakened to where the battle begins. The Holy Spirit wants to heighten the awareness in this area. We need strong families. So he's asking the ladies to pray those men will do God's will, God's way, with God's help. That's fine. He's asking us to pray that men will begin to meditate in the Word day and night so that men will begin to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit leading. And then we pray that the revelation of the kingdom of God becomes their first priority and seeking it first in God's righteousness. He says, men need you to, he says, ladies, men need you to help us to turn back to God. Begin to pray for those men around you, those who you come in contact with regularly, even those who came to your mind when you read this post. And so I put down husbands, sons, brothers, co-workers, associates, neighbors, communities, and nations. And so those are Myron's prayer requests. So I hope you write down these prayer requests because we should be praying for them, not just for the night, but throughout the week. Amen. We're going to pray for the seed, the ringing in his ear, even though he's not spitting up the blood anymore. And they don't even know why the blood was coming out, but he's not doing. He's been fine since we prayed for him a couple of weeks ago. He just said he still had the ringing in his ear last week. So just pray that ringing leaves. And pray for Leon, Seth, pray for him spiritually, physically, and mentally, that God will fortify him. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers, that we will learn this kingdom message so that we can teach others and deploy them. Pray for schools, children going to school, that they will be safe and that somehow this indoctrination would not come through. And we pray for our families this weekend that are traveling, that there will be safety, that people will be safe in their traveling back and forth this weekend, for the college weekend. Amen. Amen. Anybody have any comments, questions, prayer requests? Anybody? My. right, I'm going to pray some prayers tonight, and this is for people who want to be delivered. You want to be delivered, or you want to be free from something, then you have to want this, because the devil's not going to leave nowhere that the person don't want. So if he can stay there, he'll stay there. Amen? Amen. I cancel every assignment of the enemy that is over our families, our finances, our careers, and our marriages. I cancel and destroy every assignment and attack of the enemy, and cancel every curse of negative words ever spoken over our life in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. I decree that our spiritual connections come from the inside. Lord, correct our eyes, sight, and give us 20/20 vision spiritually. I decree that the tongue of the learned will shut the eyes of the demons that see me in Jesus' name. I will use my tongue of the learned to decree radical spiritual realms of God to be released over our children and their children's children, families, singles, the young, the youth of our communities, our cities, and countries. I decree every diabolical evil plan against our children be exposed and dethroned, dismantled, and destroyed. I decree their minds are free, clear, and ready to function the way God intended it, according to our Father's will for them. I summon all angelic assistance to surround my family and our family. Every demonic strategy, scheme, plot against our seed, our family, and our, I command blindness to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My. I decree the prayer below. There are four things that must be done and are very, very important. Destroy the power of the Python and its cohort, which are divination, rebellious spirits, necromancers, religious spirits, haughty devils, curses of unrighteousness, and death, destruction. They must come out. They must be told not to return. You ask the Lord to spoil their fruit cohort and call for truth to the person of your life or that person's life. When praying for someone else, you put your name in there or their name. When you're praying for yourself, put your name, me. So in the name of Jesus Christ, Python, I destroy and cancel your power that of all your cohorts, divination, familiar spirits, false manifestations, necromancers, religious spirits, haughty devils, and works of unrighteousness, death and destruction by the blood of Christ. I render you powerless in the lives of God's people, those who are on this alarm, those who will hear this in the archives. I command you and your aid to come out in Jesus' name. You will not re-enter. You must stay out, because I spoil your fruit and destroy your goods in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for seeing it, that the fruit and goods of Python are destroyed in our mind and life. I call forth truth and declare that I see what I have been able to see, and I hear what I have been able to hear. I call forth truth into our lives, to our church, into this earth now in the name of Jesus. Oh, have your way, Lord. Have your way. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I break, cut, cancel, and burn the power of all hypnotic trances, spells, anchoring programs, mind control, and anything else triggering our conscious, subconscious, unconscious mind, will, emotions, and intellect. I ask you to remove all the blinders from those of our church, our families, and our own self, of who may be influenced. You declare in your word that we would know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Expose all deception around us and around our church, around our family members and associates. Give us godly wisdom, understanding, and grace to act on the revealed knowledge you have placed into our spirit in the name of Jesus. Have your mighty way. And so, Father, we continue to lift up these prayer requests. Evangelist Mariner and her husband, we pray for his health, Lord God. a brother who has received a kidney. We pray, Lord God, for that his body will function in the way you intended, even with that new kidney, and that the level of the treatments will level out in the name of Jesus. Have your mighty way, Lord God. We thank you for healing power. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you, Lord God, just for who you are, Lord God Almighty. Have your mighty way. We thank you that deliverance is the children's bread. And we thank you, Lord God, for this program of healing, and not only for us to be healed and go back to doing things ungodly, but that we would serve you with all our heart, all our soul, and with all our mind, and with all our strength, Lord God, that your will be done. For Christ's sake, we pray for healing in the bones. We speak to bones tonight. We speak to organs, people who need heart and kidney and livers, Lord God. We pray over their livers that they have, Lord God, that you would have your way. We pray for total healing. We pray for that you would touch them with your virtue, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Even as we speak of it, touching the knees, Lord God, the bones, Lord God, and over the muscles and arteries and all those things in our body, Lord, that need healing. Those things, hidden sicknesses in our bodies, Lord God, that have not showed up yet. We pray for them to dissolve and never show up. In the name of Jesus, that our bodies would be in good health, that we may do the work of the ministry, that we may do the will of the Father, that we would do it without all the struggle. So we thank you, Lord, for a healing over us tonight. In our minds, those who are up need to change our thinking, Lord. We need to repent and change up our ways and our thinking, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you would heal them in their mind, Lord. We pray for those who have schizophrenia and just not thinking like bipolar and just disoriented in their thinking, Lord God. We pray that over their minds, Lord, that you would set them in their right mind, Lord God, that they would seek your kingdom first and your righteousness. We pray for those who will hear the message of the kingdom, that you would give them quick understanding so that the enemy will not snatch it. We pray for those to the Lord of the harvest, Lord, that you would send out your laborers, that as we would study and study to show ourselves approval unto you, Lord God, that when we speak with people about the kingdom message, people would be restored back to their true image, and that's the image of God. And so we pray that you would have your mighty way, Lord God, and that they would know who they truly are and what they have, Lord God, and that their destiny demands their diligence in seeking your kingdom. And so I pray by your will, that by your word, that you would have your mighty way in each of those souls that we speak to, Lord, that you told us not to be afraid. You told us to open up our mouth wide, and that you would fill us when we open up our mouth wide to speak to them, Lord God. So have your way as your conduits, as a vessel made for the master's use, that you would have your way in our life, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for this time to be along with you, to be in the company of you, Lord God, with other brothers and sisters. We thank you. We praise you. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your will be done. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Have your mighty way, Lord God. I pray the people of God will get to understand the kingdom perspective of prayer, Lord God. And that we hunger and thirst after the knowledge of praying properly unto you, Lord, that we would be able to get what we need to get from the kingdom of heaven's warehouse. And so have your mighty way, Lord God. Your will be done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I praise you. I give you honor and glory. Hallelujah. We could have about the people of that. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Nobody have anything else to say? I'm going to close out tonight. Anybody have anything before I close out? Praise be to God. All right. Say goodnight, everybody.
Are you driven by a passion to discover your divine destiny, ready to discover your purpose and fulfill your God-given potential? You can at Church on the Mall, the Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Sundays at 9 a.m. Rediscover the kingdom and discover your purpose, identity, and divine destiny. For more information, call 267-357-9816. The kingdom of God is now, eternal, and it's your time. Don't miss your moment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God will supply your needs. See you at Church on the Mall this Sunday at 9 a.m. The Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Cheltenham Avenue in Washington Lane. It's your time for change. For more information, call 267-357-9816.
This is Dr. Lynn Robinson, and I approve this message.
This message paid for by the faithful supporters of Kingdom Vision Ministries International, the Kingdom Church on the Mall. Live the kingdom-driven life now.
We are victorious.